KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
Hey, we are still working on getting that text line working. There's something going on there, and when that's resolved, I'll let you know. But in the meantime, you are welcome to call the show. Ray Mondragon is going to be our guest for the full hour today with the Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico. And the phone lines are open. If you want to call, 338-5790. You know what? Depending on, we get a few callers. I'll have I've got a Levi Lusco book that we gave away months ago. I got another copy of that around here. It's new, hardback, and it's yours if you participate. Listen, don't call yet because you probably don't have a question yet about what we're going to be talking about. Once we get into it and you got a question for Ray, 338-5790, and at the end of the show, we'll let you know who gets that hardback. And in our next segment, I'll get details about the book because I don't have it right in front of me. When you call, our engineer, Tayshawn, who thank you, by the way, Tayshawn, for making us sound so good, getting us on the air. He'll take your information. And we're not selling it, using it anywhere. We're just calling you back to let you know if you won that book. And again, details coming in the second segment about what the book is, but be prepared. You want to be a part of the show? You hear something about Ray's book, Science Is God Shouting, as we walk through some of that and looking at the universal nature of hermeneutics and the essence of biblical hermeneutics. That's the intent today. So we will get to that. And that number, here it is again, 505-338-5790. Actually, you can call now if you want, but you'll be on hold for a while until we get to the content of what we're talking about and have an actual question about the content. All right, now, a couple things before we get started, too, and I appreciate Ray's patience. He's waiting patiently for us to get started. I want to make sure you know about Matt Baird of the band Spoken. Now, he's got a solo gig he does. He tours the country doing an acoustic set, probably some music from Spoken, some other covers that you'll probably recognize, and then original acoustic stuff that he's done on his own aside from Spoken. He's going to be in concert, quote-unquote. It's at a coffee shop. A real cool vibe up in Santa Fe, a Mosaic Music and Arts Cafe. It's at 1044 Don Diego, located in the Church of the Nazarene there. And that's happening tomorrow night at 6:30. Karen Lafferty, who really runs the shop up there for Mosaic Music and Arts Cafe with the team she's put together. She's going to open up the evening with worship, and then Matt Baird takes the stage. And if you're not familiar with Karen, go. Listen, it's just going to be a great evening. Mosaic also is going to be serving gourmet coffees and teas, Italian sodas, French cream sodas for purchase. But the concert, there's no cost for it. So come on down. Or up to Santa Fe tomorrow night at 6:30. And if you want details about this event, go to facebook.com/Mosaic Music Arts Cafe. All right, Ray, that's our first segment.
Let's take a break.
No, we're a few minutes away from a break, but I do want to introduce our guest once a month. Ray Mondragon, I should say Dr. Ray Mondragon, comes in with us for the Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico. And Ray, welcome back in.
Well, it's good to be back this beginning of a new year.
Hey, I'm going to rattle off here in a minute several different websites that you're involved with and our listeners may want to know more about. But before we go there, in the last year or so, we had talked about, you were planning a trip to Israel and then probably pre-October 7th, right?
No, it was after.
Okay.
In fact, it was related to the ministry to the IDF.
Okay.
My contact over there has.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you were going to go, but that got postponed.
Actually,
canceled.
The airlines canceled my flight.
Okay.
And as David Halevi, my Israeli contract.
Yeah.
We discussed it. We thought it'd be better to go in the spring or early summer.
So that's coming up in 2025.
Right.
Okay. No exact date set yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
We're still working on it. He's got some things to work through, and then we'll...
And for those familiar with Israel, what part of Israel will this be happening in?
Well, what he's planning is he and I are going to do some seminars, some of them on hermeneutics, some of them on science and scripture and apologetics. But in between, we're also going to take people on little tours, little brief tours around Galilee.
Okay.
And we may probably spend a whole day or more in Jerusalem as well.
Okay.
So people can sign up for the seminars.
But also kind of get a feel for the land.
Yeah. And it'll be in Israel. So that'll be the advantage of of signing up.
Ray, speak to those. You know, you and I were talking off the air, and I could do it too, but you've been there much more. I've only been once. Speak to those who have not gone. You know, why they might consider not only the seminar, which is reason enough, but you know, as a Bible believing Christian, especially, not that that's a prerequisite for being a part of going.
No.
You know, why they really might pray about this?
Well, one of the main reasons I encourage people to go is because it opens up the Bible. In fact, a common comment that people make when they come back, it's like I was reading the Bible and it was in black and white. Now it's in color.
My comment to that is I say it really illustrated the Bible for me.
Well, you have a nebulous picture in your mind. Yeah. You see Capernaum on the page there.
Right.
And your mind, you know, puts together what best you can.
What might be, I'll tell you from our trip, what might be the Pool of Siloam, En Gedi, I mentioned to you off the air.
Any site. Now you have a visual picture. Yeah. So when you open up your Bible and you're reading and you come across a place that you visited, you have a mental picture that comes alive to you.
Yeah. And correct me if I'm wrong, Ray. I mean, on some of those tours you're able to take or do, you've done them, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We could say for certainty, this is exactly where they meant.
Well, and some of them, there's no question.
Right.
A lot of them are speculation. It was
speculation is, if this isn't, is very much like this.
Right.
For example,
say the baptism of Jesus. We don't know exactly where that took place, but it was on the Jordan.
Right.
And we'll visit a site that is probably close, if not the exact site.
And I'll say from personal experience, now if you go, and don't let this dissuade you from getting baptized in the place where it seems like you know, it's kind of a lot of people go get baptized there. I would much rather be baptized
Caesarea
Philippi. Up in the north, near Lebanon, and I'm going to tell you, it's the mouth of the Jordan,
right?
And it's crystal clear water.
It's very cold, also.
Yeah, it's okay. It's all right. It's all right. But it also happens to be right next to another biblical site. That this is the place that when they were talking about Hades.
Oh yeah,
this is what they meant.
This is what they pictured in their minds, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, the where babies were sacrificed.
Yeah, there's a big hole there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, in that way, it's like, oh boy, it's a very dark place spiritually, I would imagine.
Yep. So when you open up Matthew 16 and Jesus speaks to Peter.
Yeah.
And he says, Peter, the meaning of the word is, the Hebrew or the Greek word is Petros.
Yeah.
And it means little stone. And you see all these little stones in the surrounding area. You can imagine Jesus pointing, you are
one of those pebbles.
Petros.
Yeah.
But upon this outcropping
of rock,
this huge outcropping that you're right at the foot at, I will build my church.
It also illustrates, you know, when you hear in the Old Testament, the cedars of Lebanon, which, you know, you're not in Lebanon at that place now, but it's very similar to what they may have been talking. It's just a beautiful place. You'd want to set up a tent. It's beautiful.
Yep. Where you go.
But that all to be said, where people actually, you know, in mass get baptized there. Anyway.
Yeah, the last trip I took, we probably baptized, I don't remember, 12 or so people.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Which is great. I don't want to dissuade.
It was meaningful to them.
Anyway. If I had a choice, I'd rather be up in northern Israel, that part of the Jordan. If you want to find out more about this seminar that's going to be happening with Ray and David in different parts of Israel, sounds like, it's probably coming up in the spring. And if you want to reach out to Ray to find out about it, you can email him. Ray, you're not doing a trip.
No, I'm not doing a trip.
But you can provide the information.
The details,
yeah.
Right.
RayM@swcp.com. Now, by the time I get done with this, Ray, we're going to be through a segment. But I do want to call attention. Ray is a professor with Chafer Seminole. Let me slow down. Chafer Theological Seminary. And the course schedule, last time we talked about this, wasn't posted yet. It's posted at chafer.edu/schedules. It's chafer.edu/schedules. Spring 2025 registration actually opened January 2nd. The spring term starts January 20th, so there's still time to register.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So here's go to the website, and like I said, /schedules, chafer.edu/schedules. Ray has his own site that he's provided a lot of great content on at forhisglorynm.com. Ray, I can look at it and tell people, but tell them what do you want to draw them to there?
There's three main things that I've got on the website. One of them is just Bible exposition. That's the main thing I do. Just teach scripture, and usually I go through a book, sentence by sentence. But there's also another tab for creation science, and under it, I've got several talks that I've done in various places, various venues. One of them are the archives, basically, of your program. So if anyone wanted to go to some of the back
sessions. Start at the beginning, yeah.
Yeah. it would be there. And the third area is I have entire seminary courses on a separate tab as well. And okay. It would include, in fact, it includes the course I'm going to teach this semester, an older version of it, but it's basically the same.
So forhisglorynm.com. I mentioned the Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico. That website is csfnm.org, of which you are a member of that group. I don't know if there's an official membership.
Yes, there is. And there are some advantages.
Okay.
Yeah, you can check out books and vote and other advantages.
So each month when they meet, however, everyone's welcome. They meet the third Tuesday of each month. This month, it'll be January 21st. Familiar name to our audience, I hope. John Kinzer is going to be speaking on discoveries in Northeast New Mexico. John is involved with a local college that we've mentioned here. Remind me.
Noah Webster College.
Mm-hmm. And John's going to be speaking on Northeast New Mexico discoveries. And if you want to find out more about that, csfnm.org. They meet at Faith Bible Church on Central at Moon at 7 o'clock, the third Tuesday of each month. Listen, get set up for our discussion today.
Right.
We're going to be talking about Science, Is God Shouting? The author of that book, Ray Mondragon, is right here across from me in studio. So We're going to walk through some of that, and details about that book are on the web at truegracebooks.com. Told you I'd have a plethora of websites for
Absolutely.
People are going to be surfing today. All right. Well, we are up against a break, Ray. But I think that was all good information.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Things that I think people would be interested in.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a break and come back and dive into science. Is God shouting? We'll find out with Ray Mondragon next on ABQ Connect. As I mentioned at the top of the hour, we're having difficulty with our text line right now. We're going to leave that on the imaging because we're working to fix it. But if you do want to join in the conversation, phone lines are open now at 338-5790. Let me touch on a couple of... I misspoke a couple times in the first segment. And actually, yeah, I'm reminded that the cedars of Lebanon... You know, cedar is like an evergreen. If you've lived in Texas, especially in the hill country, you know what a cedar looks like. And my memories of Caesarea Philippi are actually more of a leafy tree forest, but it is beautiful. The other misspoke, we are going to, you know, we'll touch a little bit on some of the content from Ray's book, Science Is God Shouting. You can find out more about the book at truegracebooks.com. But today's topic, everything we cover isn't necessarily covered in the book. And if we run into an area where it is, Ray will probably remind us that he does cover it in his book. But Ray, let's jump right into it. The universal nature of hermeneutics.
Hermeneutics, I tried to demonstrate the last time, last month in December, that we use it all the time. We just don't think about it. And sometimes we misuse the whole area of hermeneutics, so it's good to know what it's all about. So I tried to give an introduction to what it is. It's essentially interpretation. So whenever there's a communication of any sort, whether it's written or spoken or even in sign language, you have the issue of understanding what that communication is all about. Hermeneutics sets guidelines or guardrails to keep you on track so that you can properly interpret the communication. And it's a whole area of Bible study, you might say, because there's so many problems in understanding what God has tried to communicate. So we need some guidelines, and biblical hermeneutics deals with those guidelines. And we're going to discuss some of the principles. But last time, I tried to demonstrate from different areas, and by the way, when you mentioned the book, one of the foundations of the book is the approach that I take. It's this proper hermeneutic in order to properly interpret, particularly the early chapters of the book of Genesis, or the early books of the Bible, or any book. So hermeneutics is foundational to creation science, but it's also foundational to some of the disputes that we have dealing with the end of the age. In other words, eschatology, another area of theology. And most theologians are inconsistent in applying the principles of hermeneutics, of biblical hermeneutics, when it comes to the beginning of the Bible and when it comes to the end of the Bible. And what I stress in my book is we need to be consistent in applying the principles. And if you do that, you're going to come up with an understanding of the book of Genesis is going to go contrary to the thinking of secular science, even, or secular thinking in general, that is based on evolutionary thinking and a very, very different worldview than the biblical worldview. So the foundation of all that is hermeneutics. So I tried to give a little introduction with a few illustrations. For example, all literature, I gave the example of Agatha Christie and new attempts to popularize her writing or to basically reinterpret the writing. So I use that as an illustration of how hermeneutics can be abused if you go against what the author initially intended. And I alluded to a controversy over a television series that wanted to use some of her material, but really, really radically changed probably what she had intended, which is an abuse of hermeneutics. We looked at even closer to home, law and government, and particularly the Supreme Court. I gave an illustration of there's two basic ways of interpreting whether laws are constitutional or not. That's the function of the Supreme Court. And the conservatives take a more literal interpretation of the Constitution. We call it originalist or the framers' intent, whereas the alternative approach is the liberal, that it's more flexible. You can put things in there that are not there. Or
the other thing I think that comes up in this area is well, at that time, in that culture, they had to.
Right.
And now, I don't know if that explains well enough, but I've heard that a few times.
Oh, absolutely.
For the Bible and for the Constitution.
Yeah, or any ancient document.
Yeah.
But if you're consistent in your hermeneutic, then you want to try to understand what the initial intent of the framers of the Constitution, in this illustration. And I read a quote, in fact, we probably have time to reread it, by one of the justices, Thomas. He says, "Let me put it this way. There are really only two ways to interpret the Constitution. There's hermeneutics, in other words, interpreting the meaning." He goes on, "Try to discern as best we can what the framers intended, and here's the second way, or make it up." So he's pretty blunt. He goes on, "No matter how ingenious, imaginative, or artfully put, unless interpretive methodologies are tied to the original intent of the framers, they have no more basis in the Constitution than the latest football scores." And then he goes on and just illustrates what he means in the few words that he gave us there. So even in interpreting the Constitution, it involves hermeneutics. He doesn't use the word there, but the equivalent is the interpreting of the Constitution. I gave you an illustration from history. All history is interpretive. In other words, you need to have some guidelines to properly understand what happened in the past. Even science, the area of science, you have data. You have all kinds of data, and you have to decide what is valid, what is not. You also have to decide how do you interpret the data, and sometimes you misinterpret it. So hermeneutics is involved even in science. And then certainly it's involved when we come to the Bible. And most theological problems and disputes, underlying all that is more than likely a difference in a hermeneutic. In other words, a failure to apply some of the biblical principles of hermeneutics. So that was a little bit of what we did last time. And from that, the bottom line that I tried to illustrate, the main goal of biblical hermeneutics in coming up with proper theology or proper understanding of passages is you need to try to find what did the author intend. In other words, authorial intention, just like in the Constitution or any other area. What did the author intend? We brought out last time also that when we talk about Scripture, we're dealing with two authors. We're talking about the human author. But that human author, if you're a conservative, you believe he was inspired by God to write. In other words, he was guided by an author that goes beyond the human author.
And is not the interpretation or the translation inspired, God-breathed? Is that the idea? That's where.
So the original writing of the authors of the Bible were inspired to write. We believe in inspiration in that sense.
Yeah.
So we have an author that supersedes the human author. So we're looking at the Holy Spirit. That's why we need the illuminating guidance of the Holy Spirit to be properly understand what the Holy Spirit intended in inspiring the human author to put down on parchment what we have today transmitted over time in the Bible.
And I don't want to open up a whole can of worms, but in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament,
both
as far as inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, Jesus tells us himself. I mean, he gives us evidence that he believed that the Holy Spirit guided the writers of the Old Testament.
Maybe I did want to open a can of worms. I'm
No, that's part of the area.
Yeah.
So today we can study hermeneutics, and we can study basic principles. Some of them are derived from just basic communication. But proper hermeneutics also have a biblical foundation to them as well.
All right. Well, listen, we are halfway through today's broadcast, full hour today with Ray Mondragon. He's the author of Science is God Shouting. You'll find details at truegracebooks.com. The content we're using today, not some of which may be in the book, but not necessarily. A reminder that Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico, of which Ray is a member, meets the third Tuesday of each month at Faith Bible Church on Central at Moon, 7 p.m. Tuesday, the 21st, I believe, will be the next time they get together. And John Kinzer will be talking about, actually, it's pretty cool, discoveries in northeastern New Mexico. Continue to let you know about that. One of the things I wanted to mention, not related at all before we go to a break, things going on in Southern California, obviously want to encourage you to spend time in prayer for the people that are, my understanding of the fires that are happening in Southern California, those of us who don't live there, it's like, well, yeah, we hear this every year. You know, there's some kind of a brush fire in California, and sometimes homes are lost. And I haven't spent much time on the news today, but my understanding of what I have consumed so far is, a couple days ago when this started, 9-mile-an-hour winds, and we know in New Mexico with wildfires, wind and fire, not a good thing. It is as bad, I guess, as it's been in maybe about 30 years.
More than that, I think.
Yeah.
Entire neighborhoods have been burned so far.
This is along the lines of, when Northern California, Paradise, the whole city was burned. So we'll keep you updated. We do hope you're praying for what's going on in Southern California, for the victims, for the firefighters, for the government leaders there that need to make decisions. Listen, whatever fault or whatever, that's in the past. Right now, they need to deal with taking care of it. Okay, so pray for the decisions being made at this point. And I've been on Samaritan's Purse a couple times today. I haven't seen anything yet, but just from their history, I'm going to assume that Samaritan's Purse is going to be a part of the relief effort there. And if you want to do something financially to reach out to these victims, that's a good place usually to go. Samaritan's Purse. .org. So I wanted to make sure I said that sometime on the show, and we'll continue in the days to come. And actually be watching our website at klyt.fm. As soon as we have more information, we'll have a link posted that you can just go there. If you forget the Samaritan's Purse website, just go to klyt.fm. Keep watching there. We'll have something posted there that you can click on. And get the information that you may be looking for. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and come back and look at the essence of biblical hermeneutics. We're going to jump right into that next on ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect.
Yeah, I know I mentioned it closer to the new year, but our new imaging voice, Rick McConnell, I'd love to hear Rick's voice. He's been doing work with this ministry for a very long time, and glad to have him along as our image voice, and we'll hear him more regularly on KLYT between the programs and music and what have you. Need to text him today. Let him know I was thinking about him and how much I appreciate. He's not just a voice. He loves Jesus. I'll tell you that. So good stuff. And then also, we talked about the fires in California. One of the things we didn't mention is apparently the governor has declared a state of an emergency in Southern California. Be praying. And again, watch for our information available to you at klyt.fm. Nothing is posted there yet, but we will have something. In the meantime, you can go straight to samaritanspurse.org. Ray Mondragon is our guest for the full hour today, and Ray, let's jump into the topic of the essence of biblical hermeneutics.
Well, apart from the introduction that we dealt with last time, mainly that leads into the basic principles, and there are several principles, but I focus on what I call essential principles. In other words, without these principles, you really don't have biblical hermeneutics. You may have another hermeneutic, but it's not biblically based. And these, there's five of them that I deal with. We probably won't get through all of them, but I'd like to at least begin with the first one. There's the linguistic principle, which deals with language, obviously. There's the metaphorical principle that is a subset of the linguistic principle. And we want to use that because we describe our high view of Scripture approach in hermeneutics. We believe, and we describe it as a literal approach, but that doesn't mean that we don't acknowledge the existence of metaphorical language. So there's a whole principle there. So I deal with it. There's also the historical principle. We'll talk a little bit about it. The Bible is based on events in time. God has worked through history, and the Bible gives us a record of that. So history is very, very important. So we have a historical principle. And related to it is a cultural principle. In other words, God over time transcends all of the cultures from the very beginning of mankind all the way to at least the first century. And that, cultures have changed. And
that was my exact thought on that, Ray, as a layperson. Those times where I don't quite get why that. Well, you need to understand that in that time, which sounds a lot like what I said about a liberal look at Scripture or the Constitution.
Yep.
Well, you need to understand in that time, but there are times where to me something that's in Scripture, I'm like, okay. But once you understand where culture was at that time, it more clearly gives you an understanding of the intent
of the author. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's the bottom line, is all of these principles are helping you to discern what did the initial author intend, and ultimately, what did the Holy Spirit intend? And then there's probably one of the most important is the contextual principle. In other words, context determines meaning. So those are the five, what I call, essential principles, and there's others that add to it. Some of them came about historically as a result of abuse in the area of interpretation of Scripture. But if you can understand these five, then you have the essence of those of us that believe in a high view of Scripture. This is what we hold to, and we call them biblical hermeneutics. In fact, it's called the grammatical, historical, contextual approach. Grammatical in that it involves the linguistic principle or the laws of grammar. Historical in that it takes into account the facts of history. Contextual in that you interpret from the framework of the context of a passage. So that's the grammatical, historical, contextual approach. And it's the standard approach of Protestantism, And certainly I believe that you see support of it from the Lord Jesus himself. And it seems to be the approach of the apostles that wrote many of the books of the New Testament. So the way they interpreted the Old Testament, they used a grammatical, historical, contextual approach. We commonly refer to it as a literal interpretation. So those are the five principles. And what we would like to do is let's take a look at each of them individually as we have time.
We got one more break. Why don't we take a quick break, and then we'll come back and jump into linguistic grammatical principle in more detail.
Okay.
And see how far we get.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Ray Mondragon, our guest for the full hour today with the Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico, author of Science Is God Shouting? Details about that at truegracebooks.com. And actually, Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico, that's CSFNM. .org, and a professor at Chaffer's Biblical Seminary. Is that right?
Theological
Seminary. I'll get that right one of these days, Ray. But chaffer.edu is the website. And actually, the schedule's posted, and it opened January 2nd, the registration, and January
20th.
20th.
Classes begin.
That's an easy date to remember, January 20th, for those of us that are following our nation's
politics,
government, and how that works. So January 20th, classes get underway, chaffer.edu/schedule for details about that as well. We're going to come back right after the break. Our next topic is, in more detail, linguistic grammatical principle in relation to essential principles of biblical hermeneutics with Ray Mondragon next on ABQ Connect. All right, I'll mention, as I did the other segments, your phone lines are open, and I never went to get that book, but I do have a hardback book from Levi Lusko. Once we get started, actually, our engineer, Tayshawn, can probably grab that from the book in the middle of this, on the table in the middle of the studios, and bring it in here so I can tell you what book that is, Tayshawn. We're going to make that available. If you want to call 505-338-5790, you got a question for Ray on the area of hermeneutics that we've talked about. Thanks, Tayshawn. He just brought it in to me. The book, it's a hardback book, The Last Supper on the Moon, Levi Lusko. And the subtitle on here says NASA's 1969 Lunar Voyage, Jesus Christ's Bloody Death, and the Fantastic Quest to Conquer Inner Space. We're going to make that available to you. If you want to join in the conversation, just call right now, 505-338-5790. And I haven't mentioned it often enough to go ahead and do this. The first person that calls in with a question in regards to the content we're covering today on biblical hermeneutics, if you got a question for Ray Mondragon, our guest, feel free. We'd love to hear from you. We'll get that book into your hands. 505-338-5790. When we went to the break, Ray, I mentioned we would be jumping more in detail. You already mentioned the linguistic grammatical principle as it relates to biblical hermeneutics. What more can you tell us?
Well, I'd like to state it, first of all, and simply stated and if you want to just simplify linguistic rather than linguistic grammatical, that's fine. That principle, you determine meaning by the conventions of language. In other words, language, as we understand it, has its own, obviously, rules and grammar, etc. So it involves the area of grammar, etc. In other words, all of the issues of language, and this is how you determine meaning. Now you say, well, that's kind of basic, that's kind of fundamental, that's kind of obvious. Well, it's very important, because that is the area that we most often miss when we're reading a passage. We don't put the structure of the sentence together right, or we don't see the relationship between words. So the linguistic principle encourages you to focus on actually the sentences and the paragraphs that the Holy Spirit inspired the writer to put down. Now, it has a basis, and that's why we call it biblical hermeneutics, because we see that this principle of language actually comes from an omniscient God that the Bible reveals has an intellect. In other words, he has a mind. He knows all things, and he thinks, and he has built within man the ability to think and to reason and also to communicate. That's part of language. So it goes all the way back to the book of Genesis, and when God created man in his image, the biblical foundation for this linguistic principle is God creating man with the ability to communicate, to form thoughts, and to be able to communicate those thoughts, and in fact, to communicate back to himself, to God himself. So the origin of language is from the creation, and even that goes somewhat contrary to evolutionary thinking. We think that man came up with language. But if you read the early chapters of Genesis, and I deal with this in the book, God is the one that builds language into man, and one of the first things that he instructs Adam to do is to utilize language and to utilize thought processes.
Naming them animals.
Name the animals. He's the first biologist. Put them in categories, and he has to identify their different characteristics and give them appropriate names that go along. And these names, obviously, would be communicated as generations came about, because this is part of what God intended in terms of Adam and Eve. So there's the origin of language. In fact, the language goes all the way back to verse 3. We looked at that when we were doing our little study on Genesis 1. And God said, so God speaks. So there's the origin of language in the Bible, verse 3. So there's the biblical basis for it. And God has structured our minds to be able to communicate those thoughts through language. So language comes from the image of God, and in that, it has a framework and it has principles that guide them. So the linguistic principle is kind of this broad, overarching principle that encourages us to give attention to those details of language. So it includes the understanding of words. We call that lexicography. In other words, you have to understand the words themselves and the meaning. And the linguistic principle encourages you to be careful in discerning what did the original author mean by the use of this particular word in this particular context. So it uses, it involves lexicography, it involves grammar, how these words are related to one another, subjects and verbs and predicates and adjectives and nouns, etc. So all of the issues of language are part of the linguistic principle. So you have all these subcategories under the linguistic principle.
Ray, when it comes to areas like this, there's no stupid question, right? There's got to be a lot of disagreement. Or is there? Or is there, you know, when you know, if you really... How much debate or
The debate usually comes when we begin to read things into the text itself that are not there, or we miss things that are within the text.
Okay,
so the linguistic principle encourages you to be accurate.
Yeah,
in observing.
Yeah,
what's in the text.
How much of this relates to what you've said in the past? You know, when we're talking about creation, and when you read the Bible, you know, a 12-year-old level, you know.
Right.
Here you go. This is what it says.
Yeah. And that's why I say that hermeneutics is the foundation for a basic understanding of the early chapters of Genesis.
Right.
And we differ because the majority of even believers, for example,
a lot of believers.
What is the meaning of the Hebrew word yom,
Which
we translate day?
Mm-hmm.
Did the initial author intend that we understand that to be billions of years or thousands of years?
Or 24 hours.
Or did he intend it to be a solar day? So there's where hermeneutics comes in creation science. And if you're consistent and you take the text as it's written and try to understand what did Moses intend when he chose the word yom, did he intend a solar day? And we young earth creationists believe that if you have a consistent hermeneutic, you'll end up with a relatively...
Well, listen, I appreciate you answering my question, Ray. And if, you know, listeners may think, Steve can just ask, and I will. I'll ask a question if I got a question. Do you have a question? 505-338-5790. First one with a question in this area for Ray. We're going to get the Last Supper on the Moon, hardback cover book by Levi Lusco, to be yours. So just call with a question. We just got a couple minutes before the end of the show. So if you're going to do it now. 338-5790. Ray, I interrupted with a question.
No problem.
Thank you for the answer. And let's press on.
So that's essentially the linguistic principle. So all of the areas of language come under this broad essential principle. And by the way, God has chosen another biblical foundation here. God has chosen to communicate to us through language. Chose Hebrew for most of the Old Testament and Greek in the New Testament. So those are the advantages of learning the original languages, is that you're getting closer to what God actually revealed to those original authors. Now, that doesn't undermine translations. We have very good and accurate translations, and the Holy Spirit speaks through them. But the linguistic principle presses you to give attention to what's in the text and not read things in. Most of the time, we want to make the text say what we want it to say.
Yeah.
Linguistic principle says, no, let the language speak for itself.
Okay. So question, many reliable translations. Do the translations ever say something that may be perceived as different or apparent? No, I wouldn't say apparent contradictions, but they ever translated different enough that say, that seems a little bit different. And maybe, what am I trying to say? Because the message, there's one message.
Yes.
But multiple translations, one, you know, but many applications. But yeah, I mean, I'm kind of answering my own question. I've read several different translations, and not, I can't think of a time that I've read this. Well, it seems that way here, but that way here.
I think translators do the best they can to try to transfer the ideas and down to the words from one language to another. But anytime you're bridging that gap, you're losing the precision of knowing the original languages. So just by the nature of translation itself, there's a loss of precision, you might say.
Yeah. And while we're on the topic, the weight of translating, can you go into that a little bit? Biblically important it is, and what a responsibility that it is
to translate.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. And
how serious? I mean, it's not.
But we need translations, because not everyone speaks Greek and Hebrew, obviously, or Aramaic, and the portions that are written in that way.
Yeah.
So, I think God takes that into account. But he also gives us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, I think, overcomes some of those issues of translation.
Well, that's where we put a bow on it. As you can hear, Ray, we've run out of time. But Ray Mondragon's been our guest. Dr. Ray Mondragon, thanks for your time.
Appreciate it.
Again, remember, he's teaching at Chafer. You can go to chafer.edu/schedule to see the schedule that gets underway January 20th.
Also, on my website is an entire course on hermeneutics.
Right. Go to
ABQ Connect is a production of